always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine Friday afternoon, pre-Friday afternoon episode by you guys. The way this is going to work, I'm going to hop on here, give you guys a quick little spiel about the ways that Vegas Summer League can help teams like the Lakers that have a couple last orders of business, get those orders of business across the finish line, and why teams and executives in particular like to get stuff done around this time, around or while they're all at Summer League together. So I'm going to, you know, explain some of that, and then I'm going to hand the reins over to you guys. To those of you who are watching here live, hit me with questions, hit me with comments. I'll check the iTunes mailbag as well to see what kind of questions and comments we might have in there. But yeah, the show is yours. I'm going to go for about, we'll say about 45 minutes or so, so that I can record, edit, post, and then finish packing, right? I got to load equipment into my suitcase and you know, then head off to the airport and make my way into the Vegas skies. So yeah, that's how this is going to go. But before we do any of that stuff, please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like button. Please hit that, turn on those notifications for both the show and for YouTube, so you get the notifications for the show. Tell your friends about the show as well. This thing is really growing over the last couple of months or so. Been really fun to watch it grow, especially here on YouTube and in its audio form. Speaking of that audio form, if you guys are listening to it in its podcast form, please subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably Odyssey, but all of the podcast platforms are perfectly fine with me. Also, today's show is brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $50 worth of free picks when you sign up. Use the promo code and make a $5 lineup of your own. All right, let's go ahead, dive on in, starting with how Vegas greases the wheels, I guess is how we'll phrase this thing. So Vegas is, at this time of year, the epicenter of the NBA, because all of the teams have representatives there in Las Vegas. Everybody is talking to everybody. Everybody has meetings. Everybody is having meetings over cocktails and over morning coffee after those cocktails. And everybody is talking to everybody about what everybody is talking to everybody about. It's just a whole bunch of talking. And for my industry, it's a lot of us getting together and figuring out where the industry kind of goes from here. For those of you who do not care at all about that, which is 99.99999999999 and so on and so forth percent of you guys watching right now, it means that, you know, this is the time of year where rather than needing to rely on email or rely on conference calls or phone calls or whatever, busy schedules, this is the time when you know, if Rob Pelinka wants to walk across the court and say hi to Joe Cronin, he can walk across the court or around the court and say hi to Joe Cronin. I was there one time in Vegas, I think it was a couple of years ago, when like walking down the halls, I see Joe and Rob sitting there talking. I happen to be walking in the same direction, and I walked as close to them as I possibly could without being obvious and overheard them talking about, I think it was like a Robert Williams deal or whatever. And so it was like, you know, this time of year when you're sitting there at Thomas and Mack, there's like a little bar that is right outside midcourt in the Thomas and Mack Arena. And I usually post up at that bar. I'll sometimes go in, check out a game in either the main gym or the smaller gym. But usually I'm posted up there because I could watch both TVs or the TVs that have the games on. It allows me to sit there and mingle and talk with people and all that good stuff. And the only annoying thing about that little bar, though, is that they don't offer just tap water. Like, I have to buy bottles of Aquafina, and then I ask them, hey, can I put a lime in this Aquafina water with a little bit of ice? And they'll help me with that. But yeah, it's kind of annoying that they don't just sell water there or offer water there. But regardless, when you're sitting there, and when I'm sitting there, I'm always kind of keeping an eye out, like, oh, that's all right, that's so and so's agent, and that's talking to so and so's, you know, or I see quarter zips from teams that are talking to quarter zips of other teams, and you're like, huh, I wonder what they might be talking about. You do the thing where you have a conversation in hushed tones with some other reporters or whatever, but really you're positioning yourself as close to that other conversation as you possibly can. So maybe kind of sort of overhear something. And that's why this time of year, you'll hear a lot of like, what I'm hearing from Summer League is blah, 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 blah. And so, yeah, like for the Lakers, you know, they are still, you know, in on Jonathan Kuminga. They are still in on PJ Washington. They are still in on other options there at the wing. The Lakers are very aware of the fact that they have a gaping hole at power forward in their starting lineup. And the hope is that by the time they, hop back onto their planes and leave Vegas in, you know, 10 days or whatever it is, that they'll be that much closer, if not outright having, you know, figured out that position. And the other reason that Vegas tends to help with action, as summers close, is that, the whole league is trying to go on vacation. It's funny, there's always a conversation about whether the league should extend the season further into the summer so that you can get rid of the back-to-backs. The league obviously isn't going to cut the number of games that it offers in a season, but you know, what they are probably going to consider, or what you would hope they might consider, is extending the season. And when I ask people about that, they're like, not going to happen. And I'd be like, why? And this was fairly early in my career. Like, why wouldn't it happen? And they're like, that's everybody's vacation time. There's a whole league full of millionaires. They can hop on planes and they can fly all over the world. Why would they want to limit the amount of time that they can do that? They want their full month's worth of vacation time that you would usually get in that, like, you know, right after Vegas Summer League. You probably have a couple, you know, weeks more of kind of business as usual, or like half days at the office. And then after that, you know, as you get into August, it is time to embark on your vacations. And then you come back in September for training camps. And then obviously training camp turns into preseason, which turns into the regular season, which turns into the postseason, which turns into the offseason. And then around the world we go. So with Vegas, it's the, you know, last real opportunity for everybody to be in the same place at the same time before everybody embarks on their vacations. And everybody would prefer to go on their vacations with as little left on their plates as they possibly can, right? There's nothing worse than being on vacation and having to answer the occasional work email. And that's what a lot of these teams are trying to do. So this weekend, look for a whole bunch of rumors and whispers and maybe actual transactions and a whole bunch of scuttlebutt, is all of us reporters who are a whole bunch of teenage girls. When we get together, we just sit there and talk about everything that we're hearing about the teams that we cover and the stuff that we heard from so-and-so about the team that they cover and how that lines up with the stuff that we're hearing about the team that we cover. And we're all, by the time we get to, especially tonight, right? Like, tonight is the really kind of the first night that everybody is there together and the drinks start flowing and, you're seeing people that you haven't seen in a little while. You know, I'm looking forward to catching up with some of my buddies out there. And once, you know, the first round of shots are ordered and everybody is kind of sauced up a little bit, the rumors really start flying. And then whatever it is that you can remember the next morning, you try to write it out through the haze of the last night's activity, and you'll get, you know, a whole bunch of dispatches, I would imagine, tomorrow, that maybe further outline situations that everybody's teams reside in. So, and then on top of that, right, you have meetings between reporters and agents and, you know, people bumping into each other, like at various parties that are thrown this weekend. Honestly, you could really argue it's like the busiest weekend in the NBA. Maybe not outright activity, right? Because you have, you know, like the last week was so much busier in terms of things that are actually going to be done. But as far as like, you know, the amounts of conversations that are had and the amounts of information that flow through Vegas, whether it's through Thomas and Mack, whether it's through UNLV, whether it's through sports books, whether it's through, you know, dining room tables and bars and everything in between. This is the time when everybody gets together, does as much talking as they possibly can. Everybody likes to pretend we know more than we know. And we get together and we offer up what information that we have. And by the end of the weekend, we're all exhausted and fully, you know, squeezed out from an information and water standpoint. We hop back on our planes and we go home and recover for like a week. But that's what happens this weekend. And for those of you who are hoping that the Lakers make a move on, whether it's Jonathan Kuminga, whether it's PJ Washington, maybe Rui Hachimura hits the market again because of this situation with aspiration and the deal that is being upheld with Kawhi Leonard. We'll see how things play out with LeBron, right? Clutch usually throws a party and a lot of information usually comes out of that. So yeah, it's a big, you know, to do this weekend. And I think by the time we get to tomorrow, we'll know a lot more about, you know, how things are going with the Lakers' efforts to land this power forward, whoever that power forward might be. And hopefully by the time I board my flight Monday afternoon, this whole thing will be figured out and we can all go on our vacations. The other thing I want to talk about really quickly before we get out of here is Jake Fisher is reporting that Victor Wembanyama is considering signing less than his maximum extension that he could sign with the Spurs. And we'll see. Remember, like LeBron said he would take less and then it came out to only about 300,000 maybe or whatever it was. But yeah, I was, you know, seeing this one, this report here from Jake, who obviously writes alongside Mark Stein for the Stein Line. And I just want to really quickly say, I'm not really comfortable talking about what players make and all of this stuff and who should take a pay cut and, you know, who's a max player and who isn't a max player. And, you know, like we just went through this whole thing with Austin Reeves and, you know, it just pay cuts and the amounts that these guys make is just not something that I love covering and talking about, especially heading into a weekend like this where you're actually going to see those people and they're going to ask you, hey, why are you talking about my money like that? And he's like, oh, shit. But when you get a report like this about Victor Wembanyama, who is well on his way to becoming the best player in the NBA, and he is considering taking less, that implies inherent, indirect, but inherent pressure on the entire rest of the league, frankly, to consider taking less. And all front offices are now going to look at their superstar and be like, you know, and I'm not saying that those superstars who don't take less are losers. I'm not saying that this is going to, you know, seismically change the way that business is done in the NBA, but this was one of the market inefficiencies the Spurs had with Tim Duncan. This was one of the market inefficiencies that, like, the Dallas Mavericks had with Dirk Nowitzki. When you have a superstar who is willing to take less, one, it has a ripple effect across the rest of the organization. But it also means that that team has that much, like, it's a superstar's max contract is already in and of itself and inherently a market inefficiency. It is a capped number that that player is playing on when, if he was to hit an actually open market with no restrictions on what that player could earn, Wemby could be worth double the max, to be completely honest. For the entirety of LeBron's career, he was way underpaid compared to the value that he brought on the court, let alone the value that he brought off of the court. That's what makes them, you know, that max player. If you have the best player in the NBA, that player is valuable not just because in a sport dominated by, you know, singular superstars, not only does, you know, just that player being the best in the world make that player incredibly valuable in that own right, but when you have that player and he is making as much or even in some cases less than other players in the NBA, well, those other players that are making more money and are worse at basketball than X best player just becomes, they just make it that much more difficult to win with. Just, I'm not saying that it's impossible. Smart organizations have won without the best player in the NBA. But I do kind of wonder if, you know, with these rumors kind of floating around about what Victor Wembanyama might be willing to take here, if somebody from the players union gets in his ear and says, you have a responsibility to the union to take every penny that you can get, because every dollar that you leave on the table can be used as pressure to force the rest of this union to take less than we are actually worth. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. This leaking before a decision is actually made is going to be interesting. Victor Wembanyama had a tweet about, like, Spurs Nation, I'm not going anywhere, I'm here to stay, whatever it is, which would indicate there's probably an agreement in place. But if that agreement is for less and the players union hears about it, this is part of why LeBron has refused to take less. Part of it, you know, is that, like, if you're worth a certain amount of money, you should take what you are worth. The other part of it is if LeBron takes pay cuts when he was at the top of the league, it would give that team an extraordinary advantage over the rest of their competition. And what the NBPA doesn't want is for this to become, you know, a tried and true method from teams to, you know, say, hey, look what Wemby did. You know, you want me to build this, you know, contending roster. You want me to build a champion. Sure would help if I had an extra $10, $15 million to work with. You know, just saying, you know, and I'm not, like, teams won't have conversations with their superstars that way, because if you introduce that to like in a conversation with a player who is not open to that conversation, all of a sudden that player goes like, fuck you, you're talking to, you know, you take a pay cut, have that guy take a pay cut. And they would be right to say that. So yeah, all of this is to say that I'm really hoping that Wemby doesn't take this pay cut. It sounds cool. It's cool that he's committed to winning. It's cool that, like, in this era of greed and billionaires and now a trillionaire in existence, that somebody is, you know, a millionaire, 100 millionaire is willing to step up and be like, you know, a few hundred million is fine for me. A couple hundred million is fine for me. Let's spread the wealth literally across the rest of the roster. And, you know, that like is a cool story, but the more that you kind of talk about it, the more that you suss it out. And given that all it would do is placate owners who are billionaires, you know, that would love nothing more than to save a couple bucks while they build their champions. Like take your money, Wemby. Like, let's just keep this as simple as possible. You're going to be the best player in the league. You should be paid like the best player in the league, which involves taking a full max. Also, selfishly, from the Lakers standpoint, because Luka is already signed to his extension, because Austin just penned or is getting ready to officially pen his extension, and neither of those players took any kind of pay cut. Selfishly, I'm sitting here being like, do you have to, Wemby? Really? All right, let's go ahead and dive on into the chat to see what questions that you guys have. Here's my personal opinion. Writes, any reason the Lakers won't look at Oscar Tshiebwe? Well, they just have much higher priorities right now as far as, like, you know, a starting power forward, and then what to do with some of the contracts, you know, that are also on their roster that they don't think that they're going to use. Like, first and foremost, whether it's Jonathan Kuminga, whether it's PJ Washington, whether it's whatever wing that the Lakers walk away this summer with, so long as they walk away with a wing, that's like the first thing. That's their first order right now. From there, it's like, all right, let's look at the rest of our roster and see what kind of fat that we can trim and turn into meat. And that's part of why, like, a Vando for Kuminga swap is so enticing, is because, you know, Jared Vanderbilt is seen as excess money that is sometimes in and sometimes out of the rotation. I also wish that, like, JJ Redick was more creative in how he utilized Jared Vanderbilt, and on this roster that is pretty devoid of perimeter defense, I think Jared Vanderbilt should be valuable. I'm not really comfortable with, like, why we're just all agreeing that Vando has to go, especially for the regular season. Like, I understand by the time we get to the postseason, and I understand that his contract is not great. I wish that Vando was on like a $6 million contract or whatever. He's still a useful player when he's right. And, you know, it's not necessarily, like, it is his fault and his camp's fault that he hasn't developed as an offensive player since he got to the Lakers. But it's not necessarily his fault that his coach also hasn't developed a way to utilize him and has been pretty closed-minded in regards to utilizing Jared Vanderbilt. But regardless, you know, Vando is seen the way that he is seen. And if the Lakers could turn his money into Jonathan Kuminga, that is turning somebody who would be in and out of the rotation into a starter. And that is something that the Lakers would really like to do. Same can probably be said about Jaden Hardy and Dalton Knecht as well. And, you know, I guess Bronny fits into this mold too, where it's like, all right, these guys who are in and out of the rotation aren't, like, Bronny's a separate case because the Lakers are probably going to send him wherever LeBron signs or whatever. But, like, with Dalton and with Hardy, right, like, with both of those players, they aren't young enough to really consider projects anymore. They aren't old enough or good enough to be considered, like, you know, steadfast parts of your rotation. And they're both making more than the minimum. And from the Lakers standpoint, they're looking at both of those players and they're saying, what else can we do with that money? And they're literally going to have a hard cap on themselves this year, below that first apron. How can we more effectively utilize every dollar that we have on our roster? And, so they're going to be doing all of that before they get to the Oscar Tshiebwe's or, I know a lot of people ask about Okai Agbaji or, you know, Zaire Williamson. Williams. Like those players who are younger, like prospect type players who would sign on the minimum. Like the Lakers are going to take a look at all of those guys and especially guys that are on the wing and see what they could turn their veteran minimums with, or turn those, you know, tougher contracts that they don't think they're going to get much for into veteran minimum contracts who they think they'll get more from. So we will see how that plays out. Let's see. Vando and Dalton were watching a Hawks summer league game without the Lakers playing that night. Is that something or nothing? I don't think anything is nothing. Not this time of year and not in Vegas. I think Vando and Dalton, well, for one thing, like Vando is legitimately one of the most liked people in the league. Most widely respected, best teammates, best locker room presences. Like he is just really, really, really well liked in ways that like I would compare him favorably to like DeAndre Jordan. And DeAndre Jordan is somehow still on an NBA roster right now because he is just great for vibes. And so like, you know, with Vando, I'm sure that he's probably talking to Dalton and he's like, hey man, we're probably getting traded. Seems like we might get traded to Atlanta. Let's just get through this together. Let's, you know, accept the situation for what it is and move on accordingly. And I think that's how this is going to play out, is essentially they're going to make the best of the situation, and them going to that game, that Atlanta game, you know, might be something that comes from the amount of whispers and everybody kind of linking Kuminga to the Lakers. Like there's a ton of noise on that front, not just manufactured by Kuminga's agent. There's just a lot of smoke there. Hell, at this point we could see the open flames emanating from that situation. So both those guys probably talking plenty about, you know, what is coming next, and if we're traded together, like that is, it's one of those underrated bonds that teammates have, where if they get traded together they like wind up closer because of the experience, and that seems like something that might be taking place here. But I wouldn't call it nothing. I wouldn't necessarily call it something. It's in that like in between realm where it's like, yeah, note it. It just, you know, dot it back in the back of your head, store it back here, and then when a trade finally happens, you pull that thing back out and you say, well, that was interesting that they were both at that game. Next question comes from Sunny Styles. Anthony with this hairstyle means business. No, this is my, I'm about to throw a hat on before I, you know, when I get on a plane hairdo, that, you know, it just kind of is what it is. It's, you know, I didn't feel like doing my hair, but I also don't like not doing my hair. My hair sits really weird if I don't do anything with it. Like you guys can kind of see this spot right here. There's like, that's my natural part. So if I don't do anything, I get this weird, like butt part that just is not very appealing. So this is my, like girls have their messy bun. This is like my messy bun. It's about to go in a hat. let's see. A good hair. I didn't do that on purpose. That's hilarious. That went from talking about hair to good hair 420. Oh man, that's amazing. I've been saying I think Wemby will take a pay cut because he wants to keep the squad together and he actually cares about winning. See, but that's the problem with Wemby taking a pay cut is like the implication that superstars who do take every penny that they are duly owed for being a max level, you know how much work it takes to be a max level player in the NBA. You're talking about, like, just to get to the NBA, you're talking about 0.00000000000001% of people who have ever played basketball make it to the NBA. And then it's like, you know, an even smaller percentage of that who get to stick in the NBA. And then there's an even smaller percentage of people who get to, like, be all-stars. And so when you're talking about, like, max level players, you're talking about dudes who did nothing but play basketball for decades at the mere opportunity of getting one of those contracts. Like, it's just such a small percentage of people who, like, I always laugh at golf, right? You guys know I love golf. I remember one time I was in high school. I was a pretty good golfer. I've been golfing since I was like 5 years old. I didn't play in high school because I didn't think I was good enough. I think I probably would have been all right, but either way, I was at the driving range with my dad one time, and there was this dude who was, you know, older, but he was there with his coach, and he was hitting the ball, and it was just majestic shot after majestic shot after majestic shot. And I'm just sitting there like, damn, that dude is really good. But every time he hit it, he would get more and more frustrated, and he'd be like, and finally he, like, looks over at his coach, and his coach, and he goes like, coach, what the am I doing wrong? And his coach goes, oh. And I, at first I thought the coach was like, if I was a coach, I'd be like, nothing, those are great shots. But no, the coach goes, no, you're applying too much pressure with your right pinky. And I'm sitting here like, what? Hold on. You know, and it just pissed me off so much, because it's like, that's a level of that sport that just precious few people ever reach. And that dude probably didn't become a professional golfer, or if he did become a professional golfer, he didn't win multiple majors. He didn't do, like, win multiple tournaments. He probably turned out to be a really good golfer, and then that was the extent of his time in the sport. And, or that was the peak of his time at the sport was like, yeah, at one point I was really good. To get, like, to make yourself eligible, you know, to get that kind of a contract, a max contract, that takes such insane amounts of work and luck and sacrifice from not just you, but everybody in your life. And by the time that opportunity comes, I'm saying take every penny that you could possibly get. And if Wemby takes that pay cut, now the implication, not saying that you're necessarily doing this good here, but, like, now the implication is anybody who doesn't do this, if Wemby does it, doesn't care about money. When in reality is like, I want the return on the investment of all of the years and hours and sprints and diets and parties that I didn't go to and girlfriends that I didn't pursue and all of these things, that family occasions that I didn't participate in, the family, like, shit, I was barely even a high school player, right? I played 4 years of high school basketball, and my family did all kinds of travel ball for basketball and for soccer and for baseball, and that was for nothing. And, you know, I talk to my dad about it now, and he's like, yeah, I kind of wish we would have done that less and taken more family trips, you know. And that was me to talk about basketball, let alone the amount of work that it takes to actually fucking play the sport for any kind of money. Get your money, man. Get your money. Keep it simple. And there shouldn't be any judgment to those players who do take their money. There shouldn't be this, you know, this kind of secondhand conversation about, like, well, that guy didn't want to win. No. What? You know, that doesn't seem fair. And by the way, the only people who benefit from that are the billionaires who own these teams. And God damn it, we don't need more help for billionaires. Haywood makes me laugh, writes, can Chris Mignon earn playing time this year? His defensive ability would be perfect next to our scoring guards. Yeah, I agree completely about Chris Mignon. I want him to get a proper deal with the parent team as soon as they can possibly sign him to that current, parent team deal. I think he would immediately become like a top two or three, maybe one perimeter defender on this team. Especially at the point of attack, I think he would, really show some stuff in that kind of a role. I am starting to get the sense that Cam Carr is also going to get a legit shot at minutes this year. Kind of semi-educated hunch on that front. I think the Lakers really want to get younger. I think they want to start benefiting from players on rookie, cost control deals more than they have in recent years. And the way that you do that is to sign somebody like Chris Mannion to like a 4-year standard deal that hopefully by year two or three, you're looking at it and the rest of the league is envious of that deal. So that's what I would do. I would sign him to like a 4-year deal with a bunch of team options or non-guaranteed salary. And I would really focus on that dude's development. I think he's an NBA player. Like right now, I think he's an NBA player. And then, hopefully the shot comes around. Like if the shot doesn't improve, then no, he's not a long-term NBA fit. But that defense is legit. There are just not very many players who play with the motor that he does. And I think he's going to stick around for a little while. Oh, wrong button. Oh, God. Here we go. All right, the next question here comes from ARRW4S writes, what are the chances of us getting Kuminga either as a sign and trade or via cap space if we offload JV? I'm going to say it's like 45-55. I never like saying like there's a better than not chance that the Lakers are going to get a guy. That just makes it seem like it's definitely happening. Like even with Walker Kessler, right? Somebody who the Lakers had pursued for multiple years, multiple transaction cycles. They had had so many conversations with the Utah Jazz about Walker Kessler to the point where it was like, Rob had Danny on, speed dial. And even then, I went into this summer saying 15% chance that Walker Kessler winds up a Laker. And in this case here with Kuminga, like 45 is about as high as you can go without obviously creeping over that 50-50 border. So I'd probably say like 40 to 45% chance here of Kuminga. Now, as far as like how they're going to go about doing it, like that's the debate, right? I think they would prefer to have Kuminga in that 10% or 10 million, 10 to $15 million range, ideally. And the hope there would be that, in order to get him, they could sign him using cap space by like waiving and stretching Jared Vanderbilt's contract or finding a team or a trade exception to trade Dalton Connect into. We're also like at some point a Bronny trade is probably going to happen. And that would also open up more money. So, and like, look, like anytime the league right now is kind of held up by this LeBron situation, not in the way, like, because he's not taking a max, but like all these teams, because of the crazy value that, he's going to be playing on next year or at next year. Every team in the NBA is like interested in LeBron James at the value that he's probably going to sign at. So that's why so many teams are just kind of waiting this one out. And then like they're waiting out either because they're directly involved in this or they are waiting it out because they are waiting for LeBron as a domino to fall and open up the rest of the market. So yeah, I think we'll probably get more clarity on LeBron before Kuminga. And then, from there, we see how the rest of the chips fall. But I think Kuminga's probably likeliest. Maybe I say that wincing. I don't know. All right. The next question here that I am going to, I'm only going to take maybe a couple more and then hop in the car and drive down to the airport. Let's see. Laker Time 987 writes, does Masai still hate Rob for the Lowry non-trade? PJ Washington is there for the taking. So I laughed at the, I didn't laugh at Kobe, who is like a friend of the show, been on the show a couple of times. Good dude. Probably see him there in Vegas too. But like, it didn't make any sense that the Lakers, who just handed out a slew of 4-year deals, would look at PJ Washington's 4-year deal and be like, one too many 4-year deals. That doesn't make any sense to me, especially when he is better than Mamu and he is better than Quentin Grimes. And he has already done plenty of winning with Luka Doncic. Like that report, it came off as one of two things to me. One, public negotiation on the Lakers front where they're like, yeah, you know, we don't really love that contract, you know, in an effort to not have to trade all of their second rounders and the pick swap for PJ Washington. Could also be, you know, like Kuminga's agent who's like, yeah, you know, we heard the PJ Washington noise, but like really like everybody knows they would rather sign my guy, you know? So it could have been that. It could have been any number of things, but it just didn't, like the math didn't add up to me there. And that's going to be one of the things that when I get there in Vegas, I'm going to ask around about the most is like, hey, what's the price on PJ Washington? And that's going to tell me a lot about like the Lakers' interest or even ability to trade for PJ Washington. PJ Washington's contract might be a moot point if the Mavericks are asking for 4 second rounders or a first rounder for him. Right. We've heard, you know, how the Pelicans have been asking for 3 first rounders for Trey Murphy or whatever. Okay. The Lakers could float out there. Oh, yeah. Well, we don't even like Trey Murphy. He doesn't play any defense either. And then you could run with that report, you know, and technically not be wrong. The Lakers might be iffy about Trey Murphy's defense, but they can't meet the price anyway. So it's kind of a moot point. And in this case, you know, we got to see, we got to find out what. How much it would cost to actually trade for PJ. And like, I'm sorry. I am not particularly high on Jonathan Kuminga. It makes me really, really nervous that two separate solid cultures have seen this guy, gotten that guy into their building and been like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, And whereas with PJ Washington, he got to Dallas, did a whole bunch of winning, and they immediately were like, how much money can we give you to keep you here for as long as we can possibly have you? Like, this isn't even a conversation. Like Raj and I were saying the other day, like, this isn't even a debate. This is just, all right, would you rather go eat at, I don't know, Fleming's or some great steakhouse or eat 2-day-old McDonald's? Ooh, man, tough one, you know? I guess Kuminga isn't 2-day-old McDonald's. Would you rather, like, all right, if it costs the same amount of money, would you rather fly private or would you rather fly coach? You know? And like, you get to the same destination either way. One's a lot more fun. One's a lot easier. One, you definitely know when you're getting there, when you're not. Like PJ Washington is private and I'm really, really nervous about like Jonathan Kuminga, especially if you're giving up, like the idea of giving up a pick swap. Yes. It's in all likelihood, not going to convey, and you're not going to think about it ever again after you give up the pick swap. But if you're giving up assets and if you're trading away a dude who is legitimately good in the locker room in Jared Vanderbilt for the sake of somebody who has had 2 separate locker rooms, been like, I'm not comfortable with that. So I would give up a pick swap. I would give up 3 second rounders and a pick swap, and I would name my next kid PJ if I have another kid. But I, like, you know, it doesn't matter if Dallas is asking for more than that. The Lakers only have so much that they could possibly offer. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and hop off here and finish packing and hop in the car and get to the airport and have my first vacation glass of wine and maybe my second vacation glass of wine, take a nap on the flight and hydrate and get ready for Vegas. The plan for recording this weekend is always up in the air. It always depends on the caliber of Wi-Fi in the hotel that I'm staying, which sometimes is just bad. I'm staying at the Virgin, and the last time I stayed at the Virgin, which is an incredibly ironic name for a Vegas hotel, but the last time I stayed there, my room looked out on the pool, and it was a pool club, and if I would have recorded at any point during the day or night, you guys would have heard which was so good for my sleep that weekend, by the way. But if that's the case, then it makes it kind of difficult to record. Going to be in and out of the arena, going to be in and out of meals and meetings and stuff like that. So I'm going to try to record at least once or twice over the weekend. My travel day is Monday, so that makes it I'm just going to try to record whenever I can record. And so long as I'm in the right state of mind, it'll be a pretty good show. It might be a great show if I'm in the right state of mind. Who knows? but that's the plan. Until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin. Have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Promo code HMA on Prize Picks. I'll talk to you guys when I talk to you.